But Revelation chapter number 3, Revelation 3. In verse number 14, and the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have not need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thou the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Verse number 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The church here at Laodicea is in Asia Minor and could just as easily be some other church. Like here in America, it's well located, it's wealthy. It's got a wealthy commercial center here at Laodicea. It was noted for both its medical influence, and if you were to study the church here at Laodicea and in Laodicea, you'd find this, that it had great power, great influence in the world around it. What Christ said to them was this. He says the same thing to us today. What he desires of them, he, I believe, desires of us here this evening as well. What he offered them, I believe he'll offer us as we study through this evening. There's something interesting, I think, about this church here. In verse number 14, he speaking to the church of Laodiceans, he says, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He says this, "I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot." Cold or hot. He says, "I wish you were either cold or hot, but you're lukewarm." He says, I know your works. I know you're hot. You're not hot. You're not cold. I wish you were one or the other, but you're right there in the middle. You know, sometimes being right in the middle is a comfortable place to be, isn't it? You know, to get it, give everything, to be passionate, to give your all, it takes a lot of work. And for many Christians, it's not that they don't want to give anything. It's just not, let's not get everything. Let's just be kind of in the middle, lukewarm. And we find this, that the Amen, the true, the faithful, he says this, "I would just spew you out of my mouth." Do you know, how many of you drink coffee? Anyone in here drink coffee? How many of you live on coffee? Anybody? Huh? You know this, I can drink coffee hot, and I can drink coffee cold. Who has iced coffee? Anybody drink iced coffee? No, I like iced coffee. I like it hot or I like it cold. Have you ever taken a cup full of just lukewarm coffee? You like it like that? Yeah. This message is for you folks here this evening. Amen. You know, here he says this, "I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather be cold." And here is a living Christ. Here is Christ. He's absolute truth. He's absolutely faithful. He's the fulfillment of the purpose of God. He's the creator. He's all powerful. Here he is. He's looking out. He gives us something here. And he's looking at a world like we have today, that's a world of just impurity, a vile world, a world that's just exploding in sin. You know, sometimes I think we see the world around us and we think, you know, it's a bad place. I would submit this. The world, I think, has always been a bad place. A couple of our church members went down and saw the ark, and they were telling me about the ark this afternoon, how large it was and how air-conditioned the new ark is. I don't think Noah had that. They were telling me all about this ark. You know, I was reminded this afternoon when they were describing this ark, you know, I was reminded that the world was such an evil place that God judged the world. He sent a flood upon this earth because it was such a wicked, vile place. It's a place where sin just ran rampant. It's a place where, just like today, it just seems it's full of worshiping other gods. It's full of just impurity. It's just exploding with sin. And in this setting is a church composed of people. It's composed of people whose relationship to Christ, it's supposed to be personal. It's supposed to be enjoyable. So here's a Savior that wants to save a world. Here's a world that's just exploding with sin, and there should be here a church that has a passion to share the gospel. You know, I don't think that as we look at here, they were talking about social events. They weren't talking about activities when he was saying about being lukewarm or being cold. I believe this, what they're talking about is a passion to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that needs it. Because in reality, it's not social events, it's not activities that's going to change the world. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, church can be a place where it's everything except a passion to preach the gospel. It can be a place where we look around and everything has to be about us and everything has to be just perfect. And if we don't give the gospel, if we don't reach the community, we're okay with that as long as church is the way I want it to be. And I would challenge us this evening to understand this. That is a recipe to become very lukewarm. When a church loses its passion to reach its community. I was speaking with our staff this past week in staff meeting, and we just had a wonderful staff meeting talking about some things coming up in the fall. And the conversation got lengthy, and I enjoyed the conversation just listening to those that were talking about ideas and ways that we can get into our community and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to present some of those here to our church here in the next several weeks and just give a fall program of ways that we're going to get out of these walls, off of this property, and get out into a community and reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got one that's going to this evening. Just before we close, I ask Brother Earl to come and give us a testimony of some that got saved just last week at the fair. You know, the reality is the fair here in our town, from what I understand, the attendance of it has continued to decline. And I was there 3 days, and I saw that, and saw there was some folks that weren't there. But, you know, as maybe the attendance declined, as they people maybe not be there like they used to be there, there was still some there that was given the gospel of Jesus Christ, and souls still were saved, and lives were changed. And that's got to be the focus of our church. You know what, I'm afraid this, if we're not careful, things around us can cause us to get very lukewarm. Things around us can get us to the place where our focus gets off of what our main focus ought to be, and that is getting into the community and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was talking to Brother Savage this afternoon. He was telling me that there was a time that he remembers in church that all you had to do is open the doors and people would come. And if we're not careful, church, we can think this, as long as we gather and people come, that is our responsibility, the preacher to get up and preach the gospel and to give the gospel, and that is part of my responsibility, but it is the responsibility of our church, not just to open the doors and hope people come, but it is our responsibility of the church to take the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the highways and hedges and compel them. It's our responsibility, this, like this afternoon, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the prisons and into the jails and preach the gospel. It's our responsibility to take it into nursing homes. It's our responsibility to take it into areas of our town and areas of our community. It's our responsibility to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and share it with a world that needs Him. You know, it's amazing to me how many people, when you share the gospel, how many people truly do not know how to be saved. It's amazing. If you'd share the gospel with enough people, you would find out this. There's all kinds of answers. And it's so sad when you hear answers like, I hope. And I, like you, you hear the same answers. I hear the answers. I go to church. I'm a good person. And, you know, I try to do the good things. And there are people that are alive today that really, truly are sincere, thinking that as long as they do good things, as long as they go to a church, as long as their good outweighs their bad, as long as that's the case, they just might have a chance of getting into heaven. And they're living their life that way. The same world, or there are people that are living in that could care less, and they're living the life that they choose to live, and they're living a life of sin like we've been studying through Romans, and they could list the sins that they're involved in. They're living in sin and fornication. They're living in adultery. They're addicted to pornography. They're addicted to drugs and alcohol, and they're living a life, and they have no desire to change. They have no desire to mess that up, but they still truly need the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that thinks by being good they can get to heaven needs the gospel. The one that is just living in their sin and happy in their sin, they too need to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ came and he died for them, that he loves them, that he shed his blood so they could be redeemed back to God. The world needs to know who Jesus Christ is. And just like this church here, here's Christ, and here's a world that is just lost. And there's a church that sits between the two. And what are we doing? Here's a church that's neither hot nor cold. It's lukewarm. Here's a church that's lost its capacity to care for the world around them. Think about that. Here's a church, it's lost its capacity to care. Oh, they gather. And they come together and they do what churches do, but they've lost the capacity. They no longer care. Someone said to me this morning, they were excited. They invited their neighbor. They just moved in to their community and they invited their neighbor. They were so glad that their neighbor was here this morning, and said they brought their kids and they were here and they were so excited that their neighbor came. And you know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that if every single one of us cared enough to invite our neighbors? Every single one of us, maybe not even to invite them to church, but at least to take the gospel of Jesus Christ across the street, next door, to share the gospel with someone. Do you know there are Christians in our world today that have never witnessed to their next door neighbor? There's Christians today that have living next to their neighbor, living behind them, living beside them, living across from them, and they've never cared enough to take the gospel to a world that needs him. Jesus sees that and he says this, that's lukewarm. It's lost its glow for the wonderful will of God and its feeling for people. It no longer has a conviction to act. A lukewarm church is no longer excited about winning the lost. They're consumed with what's happening within the walls, but there's no excitement to go outside the walls and reach the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My prayer is this, that wouldn't describe our church. But the reality is this church, if we're not careful, we can slip right into that. If everything is just right to where we like it, if we're not careful, we can slip into the lack of excitement. Lack of excitement to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into a world that needs him. You know, we live in an exploding world of people. We live in an exploding world of population. The amount of people that are being born into this world every single day. There was a time, the Bible says this, that the disciples, the apostles, turned the world upside down. And today we sit in a world where half of the people living in this world, some 4 billion people, have never heard about Jesus Christ. They've never heard. They've never heard the name Jesus Christ. Think about that. We live in a world today with all the technology, with all the things that we have at our fingertip. And we live in a world today where many, many thousands of languages that people speak still do not have a Bible, a portion of the Bible in their tongue. That's the world we live in. And I would like to challenge our church tonight. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to be hot, cold, or lukewarm? Are we going to take the reality, the fact that our purpose, our mission, our goal is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ? For some, as we have been studying through Romans, for some, we can't have that excitement because of the sin we're involved in. For some, we're so involved with our sin, we're so involved in with ourselves, we're so involved and consumed with our own life, we're so involved and consumed with what makes us feel good that we've lost our passion to take the Word of God, the salvation of Jesus Christ, into a world that needs Him, because we're so consumed with living the life we want to live. You know, for some are so consumed living a good life. I mean, spending time with family. Spending time doing good things that we can't adjust that, change that, to reach our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the danger, church, that if we're not careful, we can fall into. I think we can fall into a state, a church, where we could do good things, but not the best thing. I think if we're not careful, we can fall into a become a church. If we're not careful, we can do a lot of activities, but we're not doing the best activities. If we're not careful, we can do good things and raise good families, but not do the best thing. What are churches going to do? Some are saying that the day of church is over. I read articles that say that church in America is just about done. I mean, these aren't unsaved people saying that. These are saved people. Pretty much they've given up hope. They say this: it really doesn't matter. The society doesn't want church. You know, the reality is this: society never wanted church. And let's not confuse the fact of church and religion with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I remember back in the Bible, as I read through the apostles, every one of those that surrendered their lives and followed Christ, every one of them were killed. There's a book we have in our book table out here, the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read through that and you'll find how much Christians were accepted in the age during that book was written. Read through Hebrews chapter 11 and you'll find how Christians, people that followed Christ, how they were not accepted in this world. Some were boiled, some were cut, some were just stretched apart, some were beheaded, some were just done cruel and unusual punishment for simply naming the name of Jesus. I want to submit to you this: the world has never, ever, ever loved and accepted Jesus Christ, but it hadn't stopped Christians before us of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been watching, and some of you I know have been watching this as well, this Burlington revival. Has anybody been watching that? On Mother's Day, they started this revival in North Carolina, and from that, they've been going on every single week since Mother's Day, since May. And I'm not sure, I've even lost track what week they're in, week 10 or so. They're going to start it up again, and they had over 6,000 people there Friday evening, and over 100 teenagers were saved. Thousands every night gather. Every night, 20, 30 or so people are trusting Christ as their Savior. Thousands are getting underneath that tent. And I'm telling you, there's something happening. There's something going on. It's kind of exciting to me. I don't know if this is what God's doing. It just seems like it's something God would do. Here's a state that stood up for the rights of Christians. Here's a state that stood against the bathroom issue. Here's a state that's standing for godly principles. And it's the same exact state that God has sent a revival to for over 10 weeks now, where hundreds of people since then have gotten saved, where thousands of people gather every night, where lives have been changed. God is sending a revival. I think this, God blesses those that stand firm upon the Word of God. Here's a church. Here's a church. If we see Jesus says you're lukewarm. You see, here I want you to see in verse number 15, the Bible says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. You know, Jesus knows the church. He knows our church. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at. He knows whether you're hot or you're cold. You know, that verse tells me you can't fool him. You can hide, you can pretend, you can try to be something different, but Jesus Christ, he knows your heart. He knows our church. In verse number 18, the Bible says, I would counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, that white raiment thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know what I see as well? There's a command here. In verse number 20, go on to read with me if you would please. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. I see here that Christ, he knows the church. There's a command that he's giving to the church. He loves it and he offers himself for it. Think about that if you would. He knows you and he still loves you. He knows if you're lukewarm. He knows if you're cold. He knows where you're at. He knows it and he still loves you and he still offers himself. He wants it to change. He's not satisfied. Realize this, it's not Christ's will. It's not God's purpose for any church to be lukewarm. A lukewarm place is a place, it's in a condition of lifelessness. It's a condition of apathy. It's in a condition of indifference. And that is not the goal that God has for his church. A lukewarm church is one that possesses no real excitement in its spiritual atmosphere. A lukewarm church should be a place where people come to worship and no worship takes place. Boy, I've been loving Wednesday nights in the Blue Room, just the singing that takes place there. And if you've been in the Blue Room on Wednesday nights, sing. Well, I enjoy the singing. And we looked last week where the Bible says this, those that sang, they sang loud. Enjoy the singing. Church ought to be a place when people come that there's not just an attitude of indifference. There's not an attitude of apathy. Listen, we are coming and we are singing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're singing about victory in Jesus. We're singing about the old rugged cross. We're singing about what Jesus Christ did for you and did for me. We're singing about a Savior that left heaven and came to this earth and died for my sins so that I could be redeemed back to God. That is something that ought to cause excitement within our soul. But a lukewarm church is one that possesses no real excitement in its spiritual atmosphere. Laodicea, it evidently at one time it had life. It was at one time spiritually hot. It was one time involved. It was one time alive. It was one time serving. It was one time something was happening spiritually around it. Paul makes reference to it in Colossians 2, verses 1 and 2. He says this, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all the riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And Paul speaks of this church in the book of Colossians. Lukewarmness, it's a condition that it's nauseating to Christ. Have you ever been nauseated? Isn't that one of the worst feelings you could ever have? To be almost ready to vomit? You know what you want to do when you're at that place? You just want something to make you vomit. Right? I know that's disgusting, but this is what we're reading here. Spew you out of my mouth. It's nauseating. He says this, I want to spew you out. You know what's more? The church of Laodicea, it's sickeningly proud. It says that it has no needs. Look with me in verse number 17. But thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Here's a church that says this. Pretty much what they're saying is, I don't need you, God. We have everything we need. You know what I think? Sometimes God has to stir up a church to remind a church that you can't do it on your own. Sometimes God's got to stir up a body of believers, because if we're not careful, we can get comfortable. Sometimes God's got to take a church and stir it up and remind a church this, that it's not your wealth that keeps the doors open. It's not your fame that keeps the doors open. It's not what you have. It's not your prosperity. It's not your wisdom. It's not your power. What keeps the doors open is God's help and God's strength. Sometimes God has to mix things up. Sometimes God has to remind the church that it's not what we've done, that we've got to keep our focus upon Him. Here's a church that once had success, that here's a church that once had a name. Here's a church, though, that was so proud because they could do what they needed done. And God had to say this, you know what? You're proud. You think that you can get everything. You think that it's about you. You think that you have arrived. But you need to realize this. He says this, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You don't have what you think you have. You know what God can do? He can take it all away overnight. And leave a people with nothing. You see, we see here that it's Christ's desire. It's His will for the church to be alive. It's His will for the church to be awake. It's His work, His will for the church to be alert. It's His will for the church to be excited and excitable about what He wants to do. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, we find the Holy Spirit is the one who creates life in the church. He indwells the believers in the church. The Bible says this, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We find that He inhabits the believers in Ephesians 2, 18 through 22. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, He says, with the saints and of the household of God, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's Him that makes the church alive. There's power in the church. That power is the Word of God. That power is the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives. Romans 1, 16, we've already studied it, but I remind you what Romans 1, 16 says. It says this, it says the power of God unto salvation. Something happens when the gospel is preached. Conviction, encouragement, something happens. You see, there's power in the church and there's love in the church. God's love for us, our love, it's responsive to Him in our love for others. A church that's growing, a church that's thriving, has the power of God, and it has love for the lost and for each other. There's fellowship in the church. Church that's on fire, a church that's hot, there's fellowship. Fellowship is helping, it's sharing, and it's ministering to the needs of one another. How does this happen? If we're lukewarm, how do we change? If your heart is lukewarm this evening, how do you change? I want you to see here in Revelation 3:18. Revelation 3:18, he says this, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thou the shame of my nakedness to do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know what the response there is? Confession of needs. Realize this. We need Him. We need Him. You know that song, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. You know, if we as a church, we as individuals, husbands, moms, fathers, wives, if you ever get to the place where you think that you can do it on your own, confession is needed. We need Him. See, the church here was lukewarm because they thought they could care for all their needs. They thought they had all the answers. And He said this to the church, you need to come to the place where you realize this, you need Me. You are naked, you need to be clothed, and I can, and only I can clothe you. You are hungry, and you need to be fed, but only I can feed you. What you need is not found in your own strength. What you need is not found in your own power. What you need is found in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. And it comes to the place, if we want to become something other than lukewarm, we've got to come to the place where we realize this. Confession is needed. Lord, I need You. I can't do this on my own. He challenges the church to confess poverty and become rich. He challenges them to confess nakedness and be clothed. He challenges them to confess spiritual blindness and receive sight. See, confession is essential. It's essential to experiencing the power that God wants us to have. Verse number 19, look with me. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. What's He say? Repent. Repent. Repentance is needed. Repentance is to recognize and acknowledge sin and have sorrow for it. To turn from it. We've been preaching through the book of Romans, and church, if we're not careful, we can preach on sin and leave and go sin. If we're not careful, our heart is so hardened. We need a church today. We need the body of Christ today to be a church that's got the power of God. We cannot have the power of God if we're living in our sin. Church ought not to be a place where it's perfect and a museum. It ought to be a place where people can come in and get to help and get help and forgiveness and repentance. Church ought not be a place where it's just, you know, holier than now, but church ought to be a place where people are living right. Church ought to be a place where people aren't involved in sin. Church ought to be a place, like we saw in Romans chapter 6 today, that God forbid that we live in sin. God forbid that we as Christians are enjoying our sin. God forbid that. We ought to be a body of believers who's not involved in sin, who's repenting. When we sin, we repent and ask God's forgiveness and turn from that sin. Not be involved in it. You know, unfortunately, there's some Christians that have been saved for a long period of time and they're still holding on to that vice, that sin. Because they think everything else is right in their life except that one area. They've convinced themselves because they've been doing it for so long that it is okay, and it's still sin. You need to repent. Verse number 20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. You know, confession is needed. Repentance is needed. In opening our life to Christ is needed. He says here, Jesus stands at the door. He's waiting for you to respond. No one forces us. Not even Jesus. He stands at the door and He knocks. He knocks. We need to open our life to Christ. Verse number 22, the Bible says this, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Fourthly, I see this, confession of needs. We need, Lord, repentance, opening our life to Christ, and fourthly is obedience to His Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is obeyed and yielded to, there's an excitement that cannot be matched. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit according to God's command. You know, sometimes I'm afraid that other religions, because they've perverted the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, we're afraid to touch it. But the reality is this, the Holy Spirit is real. The reality is this, the Holy Spirit of God should be working in our midst this evening. He should be one that you are hearing each and every day. And we ought to yield to Him. Are you obedient to the Holy Spirit? When He convicts you, when He challenges you, when He shows you areas in your life that needs to change, needs to be fixed, needs to be repented of, needs to be turned away from, are you listening to Him? We were in the Blue Room and somebody said a couple weeks back, "Pastor, I just wanted to sing. I just wanted to sing loud, but I didn't sing, but I wanted to sing. I knew I was supposed to sing." And I said to them simply this, "Why'd you grieve the Holy Spirit?" Isn't it a sad thing that many a times the place the Holy Spirit is grieved the most is in the house of God? Are you listening to Him? Are you yielding to Him? You see, we don't have to stay lukewarm if we are. There can be a freshness. There can be a revival. There can be a fresh spirit. There can be excitement. Remember the first time that you ever shared the gospel with someone and they trusted Christ as their Savior? Do you remember that? How exciting that was. You wanted to go and tell everyone else. When's the last time you shared the gospel with someone? You know, and I fear that some will stand before God one day and there won't be one person in heaven because they shared the gospel with them. We're going to look back and see life was not so important. Our neighbor needed to hear. Our coworker needed to hear. Person we came in contact with every week at the gas station or the food market, they needed to hear. We were embarrassed. We were afraid. What would happen to our relationship with them if they did hear? What would happen to our relationship? What would they think about us if we tried to witness to them? And listen to me, I want to say one day you're going to look back and you're going to be on the other side of glory and you're going to realize this, you failed. You were lukewarm. You're going to wish you had that fire. You're going to wish that you had that zeal. You're going to wish that you had that desire. And you would wish you had that courage to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with that person. Are you lukewarm?